Nice to see all of you today. Your beautiful faces make me really excited to get up here and talk about the message. So this past week was Earth Day, and I wondered if we could just start with this climate blessing that I got from Interfaith Power and Light. We hold the Earth. We hold brothers and sisters who suffer from storms and droughts intensified by climate change. We hold all species that suffer. We hold world leaders delegated to make decisions for life. We pray that the web of life may be mended through the courageous actions to limit carbon emissions. We pray for right actions for adaptation and mitigation to help our already suffering Earth community. We pray that love and wisdom might inspire my actions and our actions as a community, so that we may, with integrity, look into the eyes of brothers and sisters and all beings truthfully say we are doing our part to care for them and the future of the children. May love transform us and our world with new steps toward life. We're going to do a little bit more around here to recycle, and we just kind of talked about it a little bit last night, that we could put a recycle bin downstairs, and there are those of us who will take the recycling away. So every little bit that we can do to help the Earth, we should try to do. So if you have ideas, please bring them up to a member of council, and we'll see what we can do to be a better steward of what we have. And I think we do a lot now. We don't heat the building when we don't have to, and all of, you know, we do as much care as we can to not be wasteful here. We're careful about the paper we use, and we still use paper, but I think we have to for bulletins and things like that. But if you have ideas, we're all open to that. So please join me in prayer before the message. Lord God, we thank you for the beautiful words of Jesus, that we indeed can love other people as Jesus loved people, that we can open our hearts to not just do unto others as they do to us, but to do unto others as Jesus would do to them. This way of thinking will open our hearts and minds to a love that really brings the kingdom of God here on earth now. We thank you for your beautiful words and for this wonderful place to worship, that we can come together as a community to love each other and love you. So God, be with our hearing today of your message, and be with us always. Amen. So I was really struck this week by this command of Jesus. It seemed odd to me that it wasn't just part of what we always say, you know, the golden rule, the law of God and love neighbor. And what does that mean? And this intensifies it for me. So if we love the way Jesus loved, then what does that look like? So what does Jesus do in his life that loved people differently than we do, or in a way that we can understand? One of the stories in the book of John is about the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman who had an interesting life. Jesus asked her for some water, and in the normal Jewish life, he wouldn't have even spoken to her as a Jew. But he had no trouble engaging with her, someone who was different than him, and he asked her for water, and she was surprised at this. And as they had further conversation, she realized that Jesus knew everything about her. And it made her open to who Jesus really was for her. She didn't seem afraid of him. And by the end of the conversation, she was so excited about this person of Jesus that she went back to the village and told everybody about him. Jesus engaged her and made her feel precious. He said that he was the Messiah for everyone, not just the Jews. I'm the one you've been waiting for, Jesus says. Then there's the woman who was accused of infidelity, brought before Jesus, and the Jewish leaders said, here she is, she's been caught red-handed, and she is, you know, the law says that we should stone her. But what's Jesus' response? Jesus draws a line in the sand, and he says, anyone can cross this line and throw the first stone who is without sin. Eventually, everyone has to leave because no one is without sin, and Jesus and the woman are left alone together. And Jesus says to the woman, who's your accuser? Where are your accusers? And she said, they're gone. And Jesus says, well, I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. There's a compassion. There's a reality in this love for everyone that Jesus has. Right before this story, where Jesus tells the disciples to love each other the way he loves them, is where Jesus came and washed the feet of the disciples. And, you know, as usual, Peter doesn't understand, and he says, oh, no, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus says, unless I wash your feet, you're not part of any of this. And so then Peter says, well, wash all of me. And Jesus has to help him to understand that this is a spiritual way of being, this servant leadership. Jesus wants them to know that there's no difference between us and God in that way, that there's no hierarchy. Jesus is saying that I am here to serve you. And what I want from you is for you to act this way, for you to love other people the way I love other people. I'm not higher than you. I'm here with you, and I have the capacity to love you in this way. So what does it mean to love other people the way Jesus does? Can we fathom what that would be like? To talk with people without judgment about their life? To be able to stand on the other side of that line without judgment? To be able to speak to someone who isn't part of our community, who maybe feels differently than we do, maybe a kid with tattoos and earrings, and what would we do then? How would we treat somebody on the street who maybe looks like they're homeless? Would we walk away? Would we be like the Good Samaritan, which is a parable where Jesus talks about what it means to truly love someone else? I think so often I have preached the law, love God and love your neighbor. But I don't think once I've said, love your neighbor as Jesus loved everyone. Your neighbor is everybody. So I hope that this week, that as you go through your life, that you wonder with each person you encounter, what does it mean to love that person the way Jesus would have loved that person? Would we walk by? Would we open a door? Would we act with compassion? It isn't just compassion and love and understanding that Jesus has, but teaching. Jesus taught a certain discipline. But discipline in Jesus' world is so different from ours sometimes. You know, teaching with parables, helping people to see that there's another way, a kinder way, a way to love someone else. So what do we think about this? We have commands from Jesus. We have communion the first of every month. Jesus says, do this in memory of me. We have baptism, which is another remembrance that we consider a sacrament, a sacred thing that we do. But how sacred is this command? This is clearly a command of Jesus. Love each other the way I have loved you. This should be a sacrament, a daily sacrament. If we were to look at it purely from the eyes of what Jesus commands us to do and what is sacred, this really should be more sacred than us walking through a ritual to help remind us who God is in our lives. Eating the bread of life, drinking the cup of salvation, we do those things, and they're things about us, but they invite us into this world of loving each other, not just loving the people that we're going to love anyway, but loving everybody in a way that Jesus would love. This, I pray, will be a sacrament, something that we do because Jesus told us it's the right way. And when you think about it, if you can love everyone the way Jesus loved them or loves them, where would we be as a world? There would be no room for hate. There would be no room for the negativity that we all feel and see on a daily basis from the news and everything else. If we could start this covenant sacred thing that Jesus asked us to do, to love each other and everybody else the way Jesus loved, that's everything, isn't it? So I pray that that will be today, tomorrow, next week, and every week when we come here and we love each other and when we go out and love the people in the world, whether we agree with them or not. So I hope that's good food for thought. And I hope that you really enjoy this covenant that we're putting forward as something new. The covenant should really reflect who we are, and I think what's written in red there really reflects who we are better than the old covenant. The old covenant is fine. This is just wording that helps us in our daily life. I think having the Bible in our vernacular is important. I think having our literature that we put out to everyone is important. So, blessed reading, and we'll talk more about this in the weeks to come. Thank you.